You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
If you could meet me in James, the first chapter, verses 26 through 27. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV this morning. James, first chapter, verses 26 through 27. Say amen if you're there. If you need a second, just say hold up. All right. James 1st chapter 26 through 27. And it reads, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, help me, Father. Help me, God, to be faithful to your word on this morning and what you have me to say today. Illuminate our hearts and minds with your wisdom as we gather to receive. May your spirit be present in this moment, leading us in understanding and complete application. Stand me up, Father God. Stand me tall. We are here to give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. All right, my sermon title today is Playtime is Over. Playtime is over. When I was small, me and some of my friends sometimes played a game called church. Now, church had a lot of variables, but there were two things that were constant. The first thing, I was always going to be the head pastor. And secondly, somebody, anybody, and everybody was going to get baptized at the end of the sermon. So all the neighborhood kids and some dogs got baptized at Tinker Creek after my sermon. Now, there's nothing wrong with kids playing church, but there's something inherently wrong with adults playing church. Now, before I get started, you know, I'm not talking about our church. I'm never saying nothing bad about our church. But I'm talking about people who don't watch TV, who only listen to gospel music. You are exempt if you don't drink, you're going to cuss, you don't talk about people, and you're not ready for that smoke when somebody's sitting in your church seat. If you walk around with your nose up and your chest on swole and is always right, this isn't for you. This is for people who struggle just a little bit with different things. You see, every Sunday, churches are filled with those who are simply playing church and playing around with God. They line up in the rows to watch the show. If it's good enough, they stay and even come back occasionally. However, if it's not entertaining, they will drift off, check their phones, and simply just leave early. Stop with all the plastic smiles, the fake clicks, the backbiting, parading around with your Sunday mask, and just get it together and stop playing around. A few people in the church today are just playing around too much. They're pitting churches against other churches, talking about the pastor, talking about crosstown churches and all their troubles, having ministers hating on other ministers, and worried about how many assignments someone is volunteering for. If they are working for God, why are you worried about their time in the field house of God? Just because I didn't mention your habit or some of mine, that doesn't mean you are exempt. The reason I say this is because we're all human and we all have flaws. Just look in the mirror. You see, Jesus came for the sick, the broken, and the wounded. We need to identify what we come here for. Why are we here, period? I'm done. I'm not playing around. Jesus did not die so his people could just play church and be comfortable doing it. How long will we play church while there are souls to win? There are times in our life when God becomes unpleased. We must do better. We must keep our doing good percentage and doing bad percentage low. God is not pleased with ignoring the broken. We talk about the worldly people, but how are we any better if we don't act? How can we expect them to become Christian or be Christian-like when they see us faking and capping every Sunday? If each one of us truly examined ourselves for a minute, instead of looking around at someone else and making judgment, we will all understand. Now, when things like these are evident, the text tells us if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not harness their tongue, but deceives their own heart, that man's or woman's religion is worthless. Pure and real religion in the sight of our God and Father is to visit orphans and widows, like previously stated. Do not let the things of this world hold you captive. Now, in the back of your mind, you may be thinking, how can I stop playing church and get closer to God? Well, let me see if I can help you this morning. The first thing I want to talk to you about is worship is not restricted to just one day. Worship is significant because scripture shows up that worship is not limited to a certain time or a certain place. It needs to go beyond Sunday. Praising God starts with the position of our hearts and affects our whole life. Every day, 24/7, God grants us clothes and food, a house, cars, cable TV, internet, everything we need. God covers us with a warm blanket of forgiveness and salvation. We don't always deserve it. We are the ones who on Sunday we sing his praises and confess his holy name, but then suddenly we change our tune during the week. We are the ones who, to fit in with the guys and the girls at work, we let foul language come out of our mouths. We are the ones who watch what we want to watch on TV and didn't want to talk about it. We are the ones who pray for our poor neighbor on Sunday, and then Monday we trash that same neighbor with our gossip. We are the ones who do certain things. We got to get it together, church. We have to. But that's why God's mercies are so reassuring. When Jesus died on that cross, he suffered the punishment for all our sin. You see, God's forgiveness covers us completely, not just on Sunday. So why is your praise just on Sunday or when the fire comes? God covers you like a warm blanket on a cold, blissful night. Every day we see his mercies, his love, his protection in our lives. Thank you, Lord. And most importantly, he gives us an eternal home in the perfection of heaven, where we will be with him enjoying the bliss of heaven forever. So expand your worship beyond Sunday. Expand your worship beyond 2 days of the week and get it together all 7 days. He doesn't need our praise, but he is worthy to be praised. Now, the second thing I want to talk to you about is my life. Yes, but I'm sure it's going to help someone today. Watch your movements outside of Sunday. Watch your movements outside of Sunday. You see, in verse 26, James begins by addressing those who claim to be religious or spiritual. He emphasizes that if there is an individual that does not control their tongue, meaning their speech and their actions, they deceive themselves. James is highlighting the falseness of claiming religious faith with demonstrating it through one's behavior and your words. Christians can influence others through their actions and their behavior. Let me see if I can help you with a couple of examples. I had received a letter from one of the kids that I mentor, and I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "Hey, coach, just wanted to check in to see how things are going for you. This summer has been good for me, so I thought I'd reach out to the man that helped spark my dedication. I'm halfway through my 6 weeks of classes at Brown University. I've been making progress in my studies, and I've also made progress in the gym. I have pictures if you would like to see them, and I met an awesome girl. They always put that in there. I met an awesome girl last semester that I have been spending time with. I'll probably be taking some courses to get my physical training and nutritionist certificate, starting here in the next month or two. I feel like yesterday you were just talking to me and the team about times like these. And I just want to make sure that you understand the lesson stuck. I love you, and I hope that you're okay. Signed, John Paul. Now, that particular thing right there warmed my heart, and we have educators in the house. And if I was giving myself a grade, I would get 100 on that. Not pat myself on the back, I'm just saying. Now, listen to this. We were about, I'll say about 3 years ago, Wazo, me, Marlon, Sam, it's our crew, we went on a golf trip. And I didn't play well again, Rome, but didn't play good. So I was a little upset. So they wanted to go get some Jamaican food. And I, you know, me, I don't eat that stuff. Yeah, you know me, nah, I can't do it. So I said, I'm gonna go to KFC, get me something. So I walked across the KFC, and I'll never forget it. The lady's name was Big Mama. Big Mama was her name. She said, may I help you? And I said, let me see. She said, boy, you know what you want. You come in here? I said, all right. I said, well, just give me a three-wing meal, some fries, and a Diet Dr. Pepper. And make sure I get some hot sauce and some ketchup. She said, I'll give you some ketchup, but you ain't getting no hot sauce. I said, okay, whatever, whatever. So we get down the street. About three blocks, I look at my bag. There's no hot sauce in my bag. I said, Marlon, turn this car around. Marlon said, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm dead serious. Turn the car around now. He turned the car around. I get out the car. I'm mad, y'all, over some hot sauce. I'm mad. I walk up to the window. I said, everybody just hold up. I said, Mama, why ain't get my hot sauce? She said, I told you I wasn't getting no hot sauce. I was like, I said, let me speak to your manager. The manager come up, a little young girl. She said, what seems to be the problem, sir? I said, well, I asked her to give me some hot sauce, and she didn't give it to me. She said, Mama, did you tell him you wasn't getting no hot sauce? She said, I sure did. She said, well, she told you you wasn't getting no hot sauce. We do whatever. So by this time, y'all, cars don't fool. They all behind KFC. They blowing the horn. I done told them to shut up. I'm out here showing off. Showing off. So I said, if I don't get some hot sauce right now, it's going to be some problems. So they done slung a couple packs of hot sauce. I picked the hot sauce up, go to the car. I'm just trying to tell y'all how things can go bad for you. Over some hot sauce. She must have knew my blood pressure was high. But listen, what I'm really trying to tell you, if I was grading myself on that, that would be a zero. See what I'm saying? And 100 and a zero, what's the average of that? A 50. I'm still failing. See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You have to do better. We have to do better. That one thing right there could wipe away everything I've done in the week. I have kids that look up to me in my center, and I have to be careful with my actions outside of the church. Now, listen, church, Christ is perfect. So I believe it's safe to assume words often fly out of our mouths, and after the fact you think, now, why did I say that? But it's too late. You can't get a rewind. You just can't. Unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. Once words are spoken, they cannot be taken back. No matter how much you pray, they could be. The damage has already been done. Unfortunately, you have to be careful. All right? Try to think about it before it flies out of your mouth. All right? You see, James made it clear, if someone thinks himself to be religion again, yet does not harness his tongue, You see how I'm beating that home? You're deceiving your own heart. And this man's religion is worthless. So watch your mouth in public and have faith in your ability to do so. Remember, there's always somebody watching you for that. I told you they was like that. Don't give them a reason to talk about you. They're going to talk about you anyway. But don't give them no truth to tell, okay? All right? Let's be careful with that. Now, as we move on, I'm not judging anybody. I just want us to be smart. Now, the third thing I want to talk to you about is the playtime is over. And we have to remove that doubt. You know, doubt holds us back a lot of times. You see, Jesus has shown us the way to salvation by living the committed life he requires of us. In verse 27, in contrast to mere lip service or empty claims of religious and devotion, James outlines what's true. Authentic religion looks like in the eyes of God, and playtime is over. He states that pure and faultless religion, which is pleasing to God, the Father, involves a primary action. Sometimes the mountain is not the external problem. Sometimes it's an external doubt that's in your heart that needs to come out, because doubt restricts faith. You understand what I'm saying? That's why people play around and they play church, because they have trouble believing in themselves. Doubt restricts a lot of things, and it will taint your heart. And we must push the doubt out. We are in a spiritual warfare, so you must pray at all times. You see, the devil is trying to get into your home, into your job, into your church, into your children's lives. We must pray. The devil is trying to steal your faith, so you must push that doubt out. You must pray that doubt out. You have to say to your doubt, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. You've got to say to your doubt, get the heck out of here. Because doubt will bring hell into your life, my good people. Doubt turns into fear. And you see, fear turns into unbelief. And unbelief turns into murmuring and complaining and fretting and arguing and fussing and fighting and backbiting and gossiping and lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. The pride of your life, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, everything, doubt controls it all. Push it out. Tell your doubt to get to stepping, because the problem is not yours, it's the Lord. All right? Trust me. Jesus told us that to be different, the world will hate you because they hated him first. The world hates those who are different than itself. And it hates those that have the courage to live a godly life. Okay? We threaten the kingdom of darkness every time we let our light shine. Stop playing around, guys. Stop playing church. Stop it. When we were singing, the choir was singing, everybody was praising God, the devil was mad. I mean mad. When you're different, be ready to be laughed at now. Talked about and criticized. Be ready for fools to try to give you advice about your life. Be ready to be tempted to change who you are. Stop playing church. When that happens, we must tune out voices of the wrong people. You see, Satan will send people in your life to get in your ear. They'll whisper discouraging words to you, and they'll try to get you off track. Don't fall for it. Don't be gullible. Stop being an influencer. Start being an influencer. Don't let your family or your friends make you disobey God. Don't get offended, discouraged, or swayed. The opinions and the approvals of others don't validate you, nor will sustain you. Stop playing around. Playtime is over. Hang out with people who will encourage you and celebrate your differences. Listen to the right voices. You see, Jesus was obedient even at the point of death. He never played around. He never played church. He was the same on Sunday as he was on Monday. And he was the same on Monday
as he was on Tuesday. He was the same on Tuesday as he was on Wednesday. He was the same on Wednesday as he was on Thursday. He was the same on Thursday when the party was about to jump off on Friday. Okay? He was the same on Friday as he was on Saturday. But later on the Friday, it's something a little different for him. He remained the same, but the Roman government couldn't take it. And they laid him down, they crucified him on a Friday. And he was the same way on a Saturday, but early Sunday, we heard about something. God did not allow death to have the final say. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. Let's practice together. Let's worship beyond Sunday. Let's stop playing church, because playtime is over. Yeah.